Well, it's great to be with you this morning. My name is Charlie, and I'm one of the assisting pastors here at Rio, and it's an honor to be able to bring God's word. And today we're going to be looking at the letter in the New Testament, the book of Philippians, and in just a few minutes we're going to read a passage of scripture from there. But if you haven't realized, as you walk out your front door, summer is upon us, all right? Like the humidity just wants to give you a big hug in the morning. And I'm grateful for October through much of April and all the good weather we enjoyed. You know, it's summertime when those of you with college students, they're home or maybe they just graduated. If you have littles or maybe some who are students in middle school or high school, they're on the verge of getting out and let the good times roll in the summer, right? You know, with its challenges and blessings that come every summer to us. You know, in the Northern Hemisphere, a lot of planting, a lot of sowing of seed happens because the temperatures are warming up, and it's a great and fertile time to see some stuff start growing. I was doing a little bit of research and found out that tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers, squash, pumpkins, corn beans, eggplant, melons all get a lot of attention in the month of May. Many years ago in college, to supplement my income, I worked on a farm. One of the deacons in our church had a farm, and he was looking for a farm hand. And this city slicker from Clearwater, Florida, who thought peanuts grew in trees, I had a crash course and probably one of the richest life experiences I ever enjoyed. Having gone through a few rounds of peanut farming a couple years, I learned a lot. And in those years, just to realize that the seed goes in the ground, and there's a picture I want to show you, and this is kind of the process that happens. So the peanut seed is sown into the fertile soil. You hope for some bushes to emerge and pop up. Those bushes have the ability to be reversed so that the peanuts are facing up. And then this big vacuum-like hopper goes over the rows of peanut bushes and sucks up the peanuts into this huge basket and then off to market to sell them. After about 2.5 years on the farm, my boss, in his southern drawl, he said, "Charlie, some men are called to preach and some men are called to plow." And he said, "You're called to preach after all these years." That was a southern kind way of saying, "Don't quit your day job, stay with the ministry, Charlie." There was never a time after Gene and I put all that peanut seed into the soil where he looked as a proud farmer upon all that awaited, all that could be in the months ahead. He never looked down at the soil and said, "I can't wait for that seed that we just put in there to die. And those seeds that survive and come up and they grow into this bush, I can't wait for the bugs to just eat up all the vegetation." And for those that would survive, even the bugs in the bushes, he never said, I'm praying for a drought. Never. That's crazy talk. He always looked with incredible hope and expectation that the seed that was injected into the soil would ultimately grow and mature and bear much fruit, and thereby making a living and enjoying peanut butter and boiled peanuts, for those of you who enjoy those very things. It's the idea that he looked on at that seed and he felt one thing: it's got to grow. Now, through the decades of farming, he would have some bad seasons, but overall, those peanuts would grow and they would mature. The same is true in our own lives. If the seed of Jesus has been sown into your heart and the word of God is continually feeding your soul, you should expect to grow. And God looks on at us as his sons and daughters with the expectation that my child is going to grow and mature. Up and to the right, that's what we all hope for, right? Farmers hope their crops will go up and to the right in growth and production. Those of you who are planning retirement or you're making investments, you're hoping that investment goes up and to the right. Those of us who want to have healthy and good relationships, we're hoping our maturity and our development of getting to know people, people we like and people we love, that it would go up and to the right, that our relationships would deepen and ripen and ultimately grow. The same is true of our spiritual lives. There's a wonderful guy that has been such a blessing to the church in the 20th and the 21st century. His name is Wayne Grudem. And in his systematic theology, there's an image that he gives us. It's a very realistic and expected picture. And it's a picture of Christian growth. The bottom shaded part, the gray area, refers to that time when we are apart from Christ and we don't know the Lord. But when we begin to follow Christ, you see the arrow going up and to the right. I wish I could tell you my arrow was a perfect, smooth diagonal. Never a bump in the road. Never a regression in my life. But that's just not real living, right? Oftentimes, there's three steps forward and then two steps back. And so if your line is a bit jagged as you move up and to the right, you're a normal Christian and you have blood flowing through your veins, perfectly normal. But at the end of the day, from the moment we receive Christ to where we are today, there should be some kind of growth and progression up and to the right. And this week, with another installment of our preaching series called One Thing, where we focus on that which is most important, we're going to think about the theme of one thing to do. In weeks past, we've talked about one thing that is necessary, being at the feet of Jesus. In the weeks before, one thing that we lack, and then in the beginning, one thing that we ask. But this week, we're going to think about the theme of one thing I do. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag early, and that is this: grow. The one thing that God calls us to do is to grow and to mature. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3, where if we dial in closely, if we bend our ear to the word of God this morning, we will hear this theme, this thrust of growth. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." This morning, I want to ask two questions and try to answer those two questions regarding this text. Question number one is this: how to grow. How do we grow? How does peanut seed getting into the soil end up to market and bearing fruit? The second question is this: why grow? Why go through all of the energy and effort to grow? What really makes growing worthwhile? The context and the situation of Philippians chapter 3, particularly in this moment, was the fact that some religious leaders in Paul's day were spouting out this teaching that somehow on planet Earth, we could arrive at moral perfection, sinless living. Well, anybody who's ever been in relationship with another human being knows that's crazy, that's unattainable, that's not realistic. But nevertheless, these seeds of false teaching were creeping in, and Paul was writing to correct the teaching. In fact, if anybody had something to boast about with spiritual maturity and prowess in the things of the spiritual realm, it was Paul. But even Paul said in this testimony, "I haven't obtained it." And honestly, the secret to growing in our own lives is to realize how imperfect we are And yet the need to press on and to grow and to pursue the Lord. Paul is definitely a good communicator. And in verse 13, he really gets to the kernel of the corn, if you will. And he says this in verse 13. He says, brothers, referring to the men and women in the church at Philippi, he says, I do not consider myself to have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I think it's funny that Paul, as a communicator, says, this is the one thing I do, but he's really talking about two things, right? It's kind of like a parent asking a child to do some chores around the house, and they'll say, hey, I got one thing for you to do. They begin to tell the kid something, and the kid's like, wait a minute, that's not one thing, that's two things, that's three things. Paul is ultimately saying there's one thing I do. And it's like this multitasking, this simultaneous action if we are to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's an idiom, two sides of the same coin. And there's a picture of the Florida Quarter that came out years ago. And you can see on one side, you can see George Washington. On the other side, the space shuttle, the palm trees, all that is important and a big deal to Florida and its history. So these two things need to be in play. And Paul, like a painter, he picks up the paint and the brush, and he begins to move toward the canvas, and he begins to paint a picture of what it means to do this one thing, even though there's a multitask involved. He enters into the world of the Roman Greco athletic world, where athletes train arduously for competition. He enters into the world of runners and those who have trained their bodies. They've beat their bodies to perform and to compete. And he gives us this athletic imagery to bring to bear on our own lives the necessity and the importance of moving forward. One of those multitasking things is simply this expression, forgetting what lies behind. It's the idea of a runner who's running, and they have purposed to not look back. I turned on the television yesterday afternoon, and these five or six ladies with the Adidas championship in Atlanta, Georgia, I mean, these ladies were flying, and not once did any one of those gals look backwards. In fact, one woman broke the world record for the 150-meter race. We cannot grow if we're constantly looking back. Imagine I dismiss you right now. We run out to 9th Street and we begin to move and race and run into a sprint. And as you're running and sprinting as fast as you can, I say, all right, take the next 60 seconds and look backwards as you're trying to run forward. I assure you, local orthopedics will make a killing. All right, surgeries will be necessary. Therapy will be a must if we do that kind of stuff. And yet, how can we think that we can press on in our faith and relationship with Jesus Christ while we are stuck looking back at the past? For the Apostle Paul, this could have meant one of two things that he's talking about, forgetting the past. He could have talked about his BC days before Christ, where he persecuted Christians, where he thought he was doing the right thing, but he was totally in disobedience to the Lord. It could be that he's referring to the BC days where, hey, that's easy stuff to forget. He doesn't ever want to bring it up. It could be Paul referring to that. And some of us in this room who have regrets to want to bury that stuff and put it behind us and press forward. It could also be Paul's reference to his life as a believer. And if anybody had a trophy room in his house, it was Paul, writing 13 of the 27 New Testament letters, having depth of knowledge about God, planting churches, raising up men and women to do the work of the Lord. Incredible stuff. But Paul says, I'm even willing to lay those trophies aside because I want to press forward. If our heads are always looking back at regret, or even looking back at our successes, it will hinder our ability to keep pressing forward. In recent years, April and I have had the pleasure of getting to know Bernhard and Vicky Langer. Some of you who are golfers in this room, you know of this fella that is a senior adult in his 60s with two green jackets from the Masters. This fella that has the all-time winning most record in the tour champions among senior golfers in the PGA. I'll never forget being in a small group with Bernhard as he was making an analogy between what he has learned playing golf and relating that to life. Listen to this quote from Bernhard Langer. He says, "One secret I have found in playing golf is having the ability to move on to the next hole, irregardless of whether the last hole was good or bad. The same is true in life. As we move forward, it's important to not get stuck in the past." I think that's worthy of holding on to. It's worth clinging to as we seek to forget what lies behind. Over 26 years of marriage, April has regularly reminded me of this very quote about not resting on yesterday's victories for today or tomorrow's successes. Today is a new day, church. Tomorrow is the future. We can't get stuck looking behind. What does it mean to forget what lies behind? It's important that you hear this. It doesn't mean obliterating our past and walking around as if we have amnesia. And next week we look at each other and say, "And who are you?" That's not what Paul is saying. He does mean that we can learn from our past. There are some lessons that are worth remembering and recording and saying, you know what, by God's grace, I don't want to repeat that very thing. Or you know what, I would probably handle this situation a lot different or even a lot better. It's the idea that sometimes we might have to glance backward, but we don't get stuck there, but we have to gaze on the present. We've got to fix our eyes on the future. Again, glancing at the past at times, but gazing and focusing on the future that is before us. It doesn't mean coming up with trite phrases like "grieve it and leave it," as if we're emotionally detached from hurts, hangups, and things from the past. It does mean you can't live in the past. Forward momentum is not optional. We've got to press on. So again, the multitasking on the one hand is forgetting those things that lie behind, but it's also doing this. It's straining forward to what lies ahead. That's a beautiful imagery. Forgetting some things, but pressing on toward a prize and a goal. We've got to focus. Sometimes when my kids were younger and they were doing work around the house and they'd get sidetracked, I'd say, "Hey guys, let's focus and finish." Okay, there's a prize, there's a goal. There needs to be something in our lives that we are pressing on toward. But this straining, it's the idea of exertion. It can be incredibly tiring and exhausting. But sometimes in our Christian life, God is raising us up to maturity. This is what J.I. Packer calls adult godliness. Can you imagine in the back if instead of coffee, we have 100 bottles laid out for each service filled with milk, and we're talking to each other with a milk bottle in our mouth? It'd look a bit silly, right? And yet we're coffee drinkers. We're real adults with ice water. And it's the idea that we grow out of certain things. We mature, we develop, we grow as human beings and as sons and daughters in the Lord. I love this story of a female. She holds the marathon record in North America. Her name is Emily Sisson. And this article that I read about Emily is that she was talking about her journey from running 10K races, 6.2 miles that she was incredibly proficient at, but she wanted to grow. She wanted more. So to add 20 miles to her 10K, she started running marathons. And Emily, in making this transition to take on more in her life, She knew it would be strenuous. She knew it would be a strain. She knew it would be difficult. And some of you may be getting trained right now by your heavenly Father. He's taking you from 10K to marathons. He's allowing more stuff to hit your plate, more weight for you to bear, more inadequacies, more ability to say, I can't do it apart from you, Jesus. He might be doing that in your life right now. And I want to say, don't shudder at it. Don't run away from it. Let God do his work in your life. It's good to grow, but growth has pain. Listen to what Emily said was her strategy as she went from this 10K mindset to a marathon. She writes this, all throughout the race, I kept my head down, rode the line, and tried to hang on. Right now, some of you are like, I know Jesus is growing me up, and Charlie, for dear life, I'm hanging on. And guess what? You're hanging on. Way to go. Way to press forward. Way to press on. This straining forward is a beautiful imagery. We have a little Cairn Terrier, and at times he's a terror. His name is Louis. And I want to just admit this as a dog parent, Louis never learned how to heal. So as he's out for a walk, our arms, our forearms, our biceps, our triceps are getting a serious workout with this 14-pound hunting dog. Whether it's a sniff, whether it's pursuing a cat or a squirrel, he is on the trail. And he strains forward. He's pushing toward his harness. His nose is at the very front, and he is wanting to move forward. He can't wait for me to let him go and let him run wild. He strains forward as a dog. The other day, we went around the corner where my sister-in-law lives, and she was giving Louis a treat. He was up, almost like popping a wheelie on a bicycle. His four legs in the front, his nose toward the front. He couldn't wait to receive and put the treat in his mouth. Let me ask you this. Are you willing to exert energy and strain forward to move toward a goal and a prize that God has laid on your heart? So here's the deal. How do we grow? We have to do one thing, and it's this multitasking. We have to say to ourselves, there's some things I'm going to leave in my past. And the other thing God calls us to do is to strain forward and move ahead. It's important to know how to grow, but it's equally important to know why. Why, Charlie? Why all this effort of dealing with our past and letting it go? Why all this effort to think about and consider goals for today, goals for the future, this heavenly climb up to glory? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he tells us a little bit more about the why or the catalyst behind all of this effort. Listen to what it says in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. And here's the kicker right here. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What woke Paul up in the morning, even from a prison cell? What got Paul fired up and motivated to keep looking beyond the past and to press on to the future? The fact is this, at some point in Paul's life, Jesus got a hold of him. Because Christ Jesus made me his own, that's why Paul would grow. That's why Paul would celebrate about the fact of knowing Christ in his death and is in his resurrection. That's why he was willing to go through some suffering and hardship, because Christ got a hold of his life. If anybody's gonna get a hold of you, if anybody's gonna lay hold of you, if anybody is gonna grasp you, if anybody is going to arrest you, let it be Jesus. Because when Jesus gets a hold of you, you are in good hands. I think of the imagery of the mother walking across the street with her daughter. And the little girl's like, I got you, mommy. And the mom's like, no, I got you. And that's the way it works with God. Yes, we are holding him, but at the end of the day, he has the firmer grip. He is the one who is at work mightily within our lives. And right now, if your sprint has come to a crawl, the good news is this: God is going to get you across the finish line. Some of us who have traveled have been on those trips where the layover goes from minutes to hours. Some of you have slept in airports, or you've had to get a hotel, and you wonder, am I ever going to get home? And I want to just say this: if right now the Christian life is a particularly challenging or difficulty, Jesus specializes in pulling us out of these layovers, sometimes dragging us, lovingly pulling us across the way, and he will get us home. He's going to get us to our destination. Come heaven or high water, Christ is faithful to do his part. Listen to what Paul wrote in the very beginning of this beautiful letter, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul wrote this, and I am sure of this. Paul didn't say, I'm crossing my fingers, I'm wishing upon a star. He said, no, I am sure, rock solid faith in this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If you've put your faith in Christ, God calls you to not look past and get stuck, to press forward, but also to know he is going to finish the good work that he started in your life. In just a few minutes, we're gonna come to the Lord's table. And communion is always that time to take a few moments, a few minutes to kind of reflect upon our lives, to sort of do an examination, if you will. In our time together, look what it says in Philippians 3:15 as we close and reflect on a few personal questions. Paul writes in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also to you. Here's the deal. Paul is saying those of us who want to grow, those of us who are mature, we know what it means to grow, and we understand why we should grow. I want to leave you with four questions to ponder and consider as we think about this one thing that God calls us to do. Question number one is this: am I growing? Can you look back in your life, let's just say over the last 3 months, can you see some forward progress? Can you see some forward momentum in your life? There may not be huge victories. You definitely haven't arrived. None of us have. But do you see that you're growing in some form or fashion in your relationship with Christ? And if right now it's a bit difficult and it's a bit tough, be encouraged. It's not always going to be this way. God is gracious and God can help us with the challenges that we face. Here's another question. What am I failing to forget? If you find your neck is a little spiritually sore as of late, are you stuck in the past? Are you trying to run this race with Jesus, but you're constantly looking behind you? No athlete can look for other runners. No athlete can constantly consider what is behind, but they're looking forward. What is it that you're failing to forget? This past week, Dr. Henry Cloud made this post on X, and I think it's so fitting. He talked about hard truths about growth. Here's what he says: growth demands more from you than you think you can give. It asks you to trade ease for effort, comfort for clarity, applause for accountability. It doesn't wait for you to feel ready. It moves when you move. The longer you cling to the familiar, the longer you delay your future. The cost is real, but so is the reward. So here's the real question he asks. What are you willing to leave behind to become who you are meant to be? If the seed of Christ is in our soul and it's growing in us, we are being conformed day after day after day into the image and likeness of Christ. That is the reward. And I assure you, as believers, as those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, he's going to get us home. And imagine the day where we will no longer have to do confession, but he will make us perfect in glory, just as he promised. Here's a third question. What growth goal am I pressing toward right now? Spiritual, relational? Do you have a vocational goal or dream? Is there a physical dream that you have? In working on the message, the Lord impressed upon my heart two particular goals that I'm praying about that I want to see God achieve in my own life. Some things from the past that I didn't do well, I want to see him work mightily in two areas in particular. A final question is this: has Jesus made me his own? Can you think of a time in your life where God began to work in your life, kind of like that Wayne Grudem chart where you remember putting your faith in the Lord? And some of you, like these communicants of the service to follow our 9 o'clock service, some of them will get into their 30s and 40s and they may never remember a specific date, but they're going to remember a season in their life where they began to grow. And that's such an amazing testimony to have. I remember 35 years ago this month, I was just about to graduate high school and Christ made me his own. I have no regrets. I would do it all over again. And in fact, if I could do it sooner, I would. But it's a question that I have for you, because maybe over the last couple of months, you've been coming to Rio. You've got a friend that's telling you about Jesus. They're the real deal. They're not perfect. You know that. But there's something different about them. And maybe they're rubbing off on you. And you're wondering to yourself, should I cross the line? Should I enter the race of faith and begin following Jesus Christ? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If God is drawing and tugging your heart into a saving, forgiving relationship with him, don't delay. We are going to finish the Lord's Supper, and there are a group of people up here, and I'm going to be joining them today. And if you're like, I have never received Christ, I want him to make me his own. Let it be today. Let May 18th be your spiritual birthday, where you begin to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So church, here's the call. Here's what you can put in your pocket today. One thing I do, I want to grow. And to that end, let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God of growth. And you don't yell at us from a distance, screaming, grow up, mature. But you're actively involved, working in our hearts all that is pleasing to you. You've given us your Holy Spirit to come and to dwell in our heart, to give us the appetite, to give us the desire, to give us the power to change and mature and grow. And so, Lord, we pray, don't leave us alone. Keep your hand upon our life. Help us personally. But I also pray that as a church, Lord, we will not remain comfortable with the status quo. We're praying for revival, God. We're praying to be a people of prayer. We're wanting to be people of your word. We're wanting to be people who connect genuinely with others. So keep growing us, God. Keep maturing us. Keep developing us. And Lord, as we reflect on some of these questions at the close, stir us, move us, give us the grace to do that one thing. Forget what's behind and help us to press into all that you have for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.